Jesus began speaking in the synagogue, saying, "Today, the scripture passage is fulfilled in your hearing." And all spoke highly of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. They also asked, "Isn't this the son of Joseph?" He said to them, "Surely you will quote me this proverb, 'Physician, cure yourself,' and say, 'Do here in your native place the things we heard were done in Capernaum.'" And he said, "Amen, I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his own native place. Indeed, I tell you, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the sky was closed for 3.5 years and a severe famine spread over the entire land. It was to none of these that Elijah was sent, but only to a widow in Zarephath in the land of Sidon. Again, there were many lepers in Israel during the time of Elisha the prophet, yet not one of them was cleansed, only Naaman the Syrian." When the people in the synagogue heard this, they were all filled with fury. They rose up, drove him out of town, and led him to the brow of the hill on which their town had been built, to hurl him down headlong. But Jesus passed through the midst of them and went away. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Always good to look for silver linings in everything, and the silver lining that I came up with from this polar vortex we experienced this past week was it finally motivated me to clearing everything out of the garage that was supposed to be put in the house. So, and this is a perfect example of Indiana weather. We were going to be like some 60, 65 degrees warmer today than we were just on Wednesday. You know, last week, we heard the beginning of this gospel story that we heard today. So Jesus had gone back home. And because it was the Sabbath, he went to the synagogue to pray. And he was handed one of the scrolls to read in the synagogue, which was from the book of the prophet Isaiah. And at the very end of it, he says, "Today this scripture passage is fulfilled in your hearing." And that's where last week's gospel passage stopped. This week we continue, and we kind of see what the ramifications of him revealing himself as the Messiah is. So, basically, his hometown started doubting, what's this all about? Isn't this the son of Joseph? They basically rejected his message and rejected him. Now, some of the people who were objecting to Jesus did so because they thought he was dishonoring his family. And that was truly a grave infraction in Jesus' time. How did he dishonor them? He did so by not following Joseph's career as a carpenter, but instead began this ministry of a traveling preacher and healer. Now, Jesus doesn't help the situation by not healing in his hometown. And in fact, he compared the people to the people of ages past who rejected Elijah and Elisha. This resulted in a mob attempting to kill him by throwing him off the town's hill. So for the people of Nazareth, their idea of family honor got in the way of seeing who Jesus really was. They could only see him as the son of Joseph, the carpenter. And so the expectation, as I said before, was that he would continue his father's trade. This truly blinded them from recognizing Jesus as God's Son. But in fact, as we all know, Jesus was following his Father's footsteps and his Father's will by beginning to preach, teach, and heal. He was keeping the family honor, but the family was the Trinity of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You know, we were created to live together in community. Our basic unit of society is the family, formed when a man and woman pledge love to each other before their God in matrimony. Today's second reading is a favorite reading at wedding ceremonies because it details the power of love and its place in married life. But St. Paul did not write this part of his letter intending to be used for marriages, but it was originally written for the early Christian community at Corinth that he founded. He was truly distressed by the Christians in that community who were using their gifts to sow the seeds of discord rather than unity. Ultimately, they were using their God-given gifts without love. Love is the glue that binds together the community. The gift that each of us brings to the community are supposed to build up that community. Gifts of speech, prophecy, knowledge, generosity, and even faith are worthless if they are used without love. He then goes on to tell us, love is patient, love is kind. It is not jealous, it is not pompous. It is not inflated, it is not rude. It does not seek its own interest, it is not quick-tempered. It does not brood over injury. It does not rejoice over wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. While reason and intellect are fine gifts, but love must be their foundation. The love that a small child has for their parents is based on need. They need them to care for them, feed them, and clothe them. But the love that adults have for one another is based on the knowledge that they are imitating their Heavenly Father who loved them first. But let's be quite clear. Developing this virtue of love is hard. Many times we may be ready to throw in the towel and give up. If it's too difficult to use our gifts with love, then maybe, we reason, we shouldn't even share them and not use them at all. But an author wrote, unless we are willing to share our best gifts, we will lose what little we possess. Our gifts are given to us by God to do the work of building up our communities of family, parish, town, nation, and even the world. To be selfish with these gifts does not result in the growth of the virtue of love in us and in others. When we use our gifts in love, God causes the growth of love in ourselves and in those who benefit from them. It is through us that they experience God's love. But we also experience God's love as well. As the saying goes, when we give, we receive more in return. Just as Jesus was able to multiply several loaves of bread to feed an entire crowd, so he can multiply our acts of love to effect a conversion of hearts. So I began by looking at Jesus' hometown and their rejection of his mission of love. The story does illustrate that Jesus was sent to save us all, not just his own people. Jesus walked away from that mob not because he didn't love them, but rather because he loves all people. His love is effective. It saves us all. His love is infectious. It is meant to be spread. And so let us pray today for an increase of the virtue of love in our hearts and in our community. In that way, we fulfill God's will. And in that way, we use his gifts to further the kingdom of God.